Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
You should have a copy of the handout. You'll notice it's not as pretty as last week because I did it. Lance didn't. So I'm a little plain, but it's okay. You'll be all right, right? The word is the word. I want to start with the other thing about consistency in being part of a body of believers. We believe that we hear from God, or at least we seek to hear from God. The whole worship set, met with Matt this week, gave him a copy of the sermon, the song. So if you believe your leadership is tied into the Lord, and there's a theme to what Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, right? He's the one who teaches you. So being consistent. And then you should take the sermon outlines, or at least listen, and what is the Lord saying to me as part of the family? Because he's equipping us. So the last 3 weeks, this is part three of a three-week theme that I've been on. I've titled it, They Walk in the Light of Your Presence. That's out of Psalm 89:15. You'll see that at the top of the outline. So Friday night was so amazing. What a time we had with Mary Esther and Ron's the covenant. It was a theme of covenant, but it was Ron and Mary Esther's 25th wedding anniversary, and we want to honor marriage because there's more people living outside of marriage together than there are in marriage today. And so honoring marriage and commitment and covenant, we talked about covenant. So that's a picture of that enduring love and God's covenant to us, which is part of the theme of this. So I want to ask a serious question. What is your relationship with God? How would you describe your relationship with God to other people? You know that we do prayer ministry and inner healing every week and have people coming in that are really in struggle, and we thank the Lord for an opportunity. One of the first questions we ask them after they've spent time journaling and preparing is, how would you describe your relationship with your mother and your father, or your spouse, or your brothers, or your sisters? And as you imagine, you get a whole host of, I never knew my father, or I had to walk on eggshells around my father, or my mother. There, you get a whole litany of relational feedback about that. And that, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, those primary relationships set your view of life. We looked at that in great detail. Where you're born, how you're born. Imagine if you were born in Iran, had to wear a full burqa, or you lose your head or get killed if you don't wear it right. All right? So that would affect how you were raised and how you see yourself. So those primary relationships are really important. And they form the way you are. You can't pick where you're born and who your family is, but you can pick what family you're going to be in. Because from the beginning, from a garden, all the way to Revelation, it's been about family. God is going to have a family. At the end of Revelation, it says, he says, in Revelation 21, he says, come and let me show you the bride of the Lamb. There is a bride, and there's a big bridal party, right? So we talk about covenant. Phew, it's Revelation 19, he says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They have made themselves ready by the garments of the good deeds they do. There's this thing. He's going to end in family. It's all about family. It always comes down to free will. One of the greatest gifts you and I have is free will. That's that battle between, you have a choice. Choices really matter. What you choose to do has an effect. And so what parents choose to do has an effect on family. We see that in Exodus, right? The sins of the father can visit to a third and fourth generation. But praise God, due to grace, he says, those who love me, I bless to 1,000 generations. Part of the Ten Commandments. If you look at honor mother and father, right below that. So how would you describe your relationship, those primary relationships? How you relate to God is really an important question. Now, depending, again, if you had a harsh environment, you might see God as, he's just out to whack me or get me if I get out of line. We know that's not the grace of the new covenant. It's by grace I've been saved. And yet, those who had good relationships with family members. And so we're all on a journey, but the ultimate part of this is, what are you going to do with Jesus? And who's your daddy? It's two fathers, scriptures. You can look at this. John 8, he describes it very clearly. You're either going to be under the father of the devil and you're dead when you're not born again, or you're under the father of grace, Abba, right? And so two kingdoms, two fathers. And so we're going to look at that. I love this theme that he's going to bring in VBS. What an amazing, that's going to be fun. We need all, you'll have fun. Trust me, you'll have really a lot of fun doing it in the work that's there. Now, if you have a biblical worldview, which we believe we have a biblical worldview, there are different worldviews, but if you have a biblical worldview and you believe this is the inerrant word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, this word is to equip you for doctrine, theology, and for the good works. You can look at it, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. And Peter goes on and says, the Holy Word was given, inspired by those under prophetic influence, right? And so this word we believe to be absolutely true. And I love the founding of the Dead Sea Scrolls. When I go to Israel and I meet with some of my Israeli friends, I have a rabbi friend and that is a born-again believer. He texted me several times this week in the middle of the war. I said, what do you guys do with the fact that they found, I think, multiple full books of the book of Isaiah in the Dead Sea Scrolls, written thousands and thousands of years ago? And when you read about the Son of God who was given for you, how do you handle that? He goes, yeah. Well, he's coming. I said, okay. He's already come, but he's coming again. We can agree to disagree. So there's this biblical worldview, and true identity really matters. What is your identity, your true identity? It's not what the bullies on the playground said. It's not, well, I'm the black sheep of the family. Whatever the labels were that you were given, or I'm the golden child, well, your identity, your true identity is in Christ. And so the biblical worldview is one day, we're going to be with him or we're not. And so if you look at your outline, I want us to look at this scripture. I've actually written it out, but they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Well, first of all, who's the they? Who's the they that's walking and know? So let's look at the psalm. You see right below the title there, I've listed Psalm 89, 15 to 16. Blessed is, notice this doesn't say was or is to come. Blessed is the people that know. The joyful sound, that's King James. New Living says, they hear the joyful call to worship. Did you hear it today? Right? It's like you get caught up in it. There's a moment I love when we worship. There's a moment when you can almost feel the presence just fall. You can feel, you can sense it in the room. People start, it just happens, right? That's the joyful call to worship. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. King James says countenance, walking in it. New Living says your presence. It's the same. In your name shall they rejoice all the day. In your righteousness they shall be exalted. When Pat calls me almost every day and says, you know what happened today? I heard this one. And it's like you can hear the rejoicing. Like I had an opportunity to hear God and go step out. And I love it when we do that. When we come back from our Wednesday nights or people during the week, it's that sharing. It is such, there is a rejoicing in using the name, and he honors the name. There's an amazing scripture in Malachi 3 that says, the Lord remembers those who honor his name. He says, a scroll of remembrance is written in the name of those who honor my name. It's in Malachi 3, right after the chapter piece on tithing. And he says, you actually have a scroll or a book, I don't know, maybe the modern day heaven, they'll have a call up, they'll have this angel on a computer, call up Tom's background. Like, wow. was wondering, how does he remember every word, every jot, every tittle, every action, every thought? It's like every hair on your head. It's like, yeah. You talk about AI, God's got all that beat already. So there is this walking in righteousness. And so they, who is the they? They're the ones that walk in the light and in your presence. Let's look at light for a minute. Turn with me to John. This is so clarifying about the light. And probably a familiar scripture. We've been studying the Gospel of John on Friday nights. We'll pick up on John chapter 4 this week if you want to read ahead, by the way. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. We shared a few weeks ago that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Of course, he wrote it. So that's, he just felt loved by God. And Jesus was not only his God, but his friend. He starts out with, in the beginning, this sets the whole thing. In the beginning was the Word, and it already existed. We know that God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. And he likes to talk. If he's called the Word, you would think he's going to talk to you, right? Because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow. So when you're at the deli, getting your salami once a week, could you say? And the Lord says, once a month, yeah. And you hear the download, or you're sitting in a restaurant and the Holy Spirit will just, because since we're the sheep who hear the voice of God and you're sensitive to the Spirit of God because you've already asked him when you got up in the morning, I want divine appointments, I want to walk with you, set my day. My agenda may be to go to a restaurant, but you have an agenda in your agenda for me to talk to somebody because the kingdom is at hand. And few are the laborers, even though the harvest is great. Send out the Lord of the harvest, right? So there's this, you sit there and the word comes in and like, oh. Then you have this battle. Fear of man, I don't want to be a look bad. What if I get rejected? And we got to get past the fear of man and just fear God. Obedience is, it walks in obedience. And so that's that sensitivity to want to walk there. So let's read on. It says, in the beginning was the Word. He created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. That doesn't get any clearer in the biblical worldview. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created. He gave life, and his life brought light to everyone. You're going to start to see this theme of light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell us about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell us about the light. The one who is the true light. I love this verse. King James, New Living, true light. That means there is not true light. Right? So there's true light, and there's a whole bunch. Matter of fact, the devil masquerades as an angel of light. That's why the deception is running rampant. Jesus tells us, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, the latter days, the love of many will grow cold. Deception will run rampant. Paul tells us in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, that there will be those that will listen to doctrines of demons, itching ears, being told to all. So in the latter days, many of us believe we're close to that latter days. So those are all signs. So there is true light and there's a deceiving light. In fact, now when you go online, we had this just the other day. That can't be right. Deceiving AI that lies. In fact, there was one this week. My rabbi friend contacted me, says, look at this. The Mississippi River's draining. It's lost 50-something percent of its river. I said, how come I don't hear that in the news? You would think if they were losing that. And went on this whole lengthy thing. And I finally, my wife looked at me and finally said, Rabbi, I think this isn't true. He goes, yeah, it's fake. Fake news. So, but what's the point? It sounded so, I mean, they had doctor-degreed people explain it. It was like, what in the world? The deception runs rampant. Be careful with what you're listening to. Ooh. It's a spirit of the age that we're in, deception. So there is true light, and he is the way, the truth, and life, Jesus. John 14, 6, right? All right, verse 10. He came into the world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. Verse 12. But all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, born again, new creatures in Christ. That was a sermon a couple weeks ago. Not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but the birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us, fully God, fully man, right? He was full of unfailing love, faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. When John wrote this, he was an old man. He was the only surviving apostle at this time. All the others had been martyred. And he writes this somewhere in the 90 AD time frame, right around the book of Revelation. And when he writes 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, that's why when John and Peter, just before they know they're going to die, Peter's epitaph, actually, before Peter is crucified upside down, he writes 2nd Peter. Read it. We've covered it here. But these two things that happened experientially to them about the light, they both share at the end of their day to us that you might have this joy in you. That you might know. John says, we were there with him. We handled him. We ate with him. We were with him. Read it in 1 John 1. Then Peter goes on and says, that day on the glorious mountain, when the Father came in his glory, and we saw Elijah, we saw the prophet, we saw him. We saw Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And then a cloud, the Father came over and said, this is my Son, listen to him. And that inner circle of Peter, James, and John, that never left them. That experience never left them. Even at the end of their day, they said, you need to hear what we know. We saw. That's why you've had experiences in God. You're born again. When you start listening to everybody's testimony, how'd you get saved? I love it. But when you've had an experience with God, that's so much better than the head knowledge of God. A person with an experience in God is no match for someone who's got a lot of head knowledge. Not that knowledge is not bad, but when you've experienced God, I shared with you a few weeks ago when I came out of ICU that night and I was in that room in 826 on the 8th floor and God pulled back the veil and I saw open visions I've never seen before of the kingdom of God and his power. I can never unsee that. I'm telling you, God is real. God is so real. He's let me see it. He let me see things. And I'm like, God, I believed before, but now I believe. When you've had an experience with God, that's why John and Peter said, you need to know what we saw, that you might join in with us and know that he is. You know, no one dies for a lie. You know, all of them died, martyred. You don't die for a lie. You die for truth. There are those that may get indoctrinated in some kind of, you know, indoctrination and die as some kind of crazy martyr, believing what is not true. But when you know the truth and you've seen the truth and you've handled the truth, you'd be willing to lay it down. So when we see this, that he came into the light and the enemy didn't like the light, he says this in John 3. We shared this a couple of Fridays ago. Verse 21 of John 3. Let's start in 19. John 3:19. And the judgment is based upon the fact that God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, and their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. That's the testimony. When you walk in a room carrying the light, remember, blessed are the feet of the gospel of those who carry the good news. When you walk into a restaurant, you walk into any place, you are a gospel carrier, right? Part of the armor is put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. So you should walk into a family situation and bring peace. Amen. Even amidst the politics and like, yipes, but Pastor, well, it says live at peace as much as able to, right? There's some people you're not going to find peace with. You don't have to have dinner with them, or you can avoid that subject. Don't tear up your family for, anyway, God will give you wisdom as to when to speak and when to hold, right? So, Lord, we thank you right now. So we thank you that God is light. So look at your outline. These last 2 weeks, we've looked at identity, A through ABC there. Identity's formed, seeking who we are in Christ, looking at the biblical identity of truth. Then last week, we said, who may climb the mountain? I love the song that Matt and Sarah did on this one. only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So there's this journey of seeking after God to show me how to walk this out. Clean hands speaks of in the natural, doing things that are pure, but then he talks about the heart. We looked at Jeremiah 17 last week where it says the human heart is deceitfully wicked and who can know it? But God says, I'm going to take your stony rock hard heart and I'm going to put truth, I'm going to put a flesh in us, Holy Spirit. He's the one who sanctifies us. As soon as we get saved, we start that journey, right? And we desire free will to lay down the stuff that doesn't please him. That's the journey up the mountain. So today, if you look at B there, what's your relationship with God? I'd really like you to ask that question privately this week. When you get quiet with God, what's my relationship with you? How would I describe my relationship I have with you to maybe a close friend? Because that journey, we know he's a loving father. Scripture reveals there's a wide spectrum there. You can see that in B1, right? There's those that are enemies of God. I just read that out of John. There are those who see themselves as sons and daughters, believers in Christ. Those who believe they're a servant of God. Then there's the inner circle, the Peter, James, and John. And then he talks about those who are lukewarm in Revelation. Those who spoke to God face to face, like Moses. So let's look down. I looked at Scripture. Who were the intimate friends of God, and what did they do, or how did they respond in order to become an intimate friend of God? So I looked at the Scriptures there. You can see that in C1. Abraham, in fact, Isaiah 41:8 says, my friend Abraham. And we shared this on Friday night as part of the covenant. So we looked at the covenant blessings out of Genesis 15 and 18, where Abraham's called. He says, get up, Abraham, and go to this place. Leave your father, your family, and go where I show you to go. He gets up, he doesn't know where he's going, and he follows the Lord. We see a couple of chapters later, because of Abraham's obedience, God says, I want to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to bless the entire world with you. And I'm going to bless your family legacy. I'm going to bless you. And then he says, and I'm going to give you a land. You see the land? It's going to be your land forever. Go ahead and read it out of Genesis 18. Those who are confused about this ought to go read that right now. But it would be good to look at the fact that Abraham was a friend. In fact, James, Jesus' half-brother, in James 2:23 there in B1A, C1A, says he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. We know Moses, what a relationship Moses had, where he spoke, it says in Exodus there, God spoke to Moses face to face as if like a friend. What a close relationship he had. And of course, we know that Joshua sat in the tent of meeting while all that was going on for 40 years. Talk about witnessing God talking to Moses, and then no wonder Joshua was selected to lead them and take over and conquer the land. How many kings? And so we see servants who became friends. Let's turn it to there in John 15. This is an amazing set of scriptures. We talk about the vine and the branches, and you who are gardeners know this better. I counted 9 times the word remain is listed in this 17 verses of John 15. Remain in me. So let me just read it to you. I'll read King James and New Living kind of together. I'll start with New Living. I am the true grapevine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, and they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. King James says in verse 3, you are now clean through the word. Washing of the word. That's why reading this word, you got to be in this word. Memorize this word. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So the question would be, who are you connected to? Or whom are you connected to? Who are you following? Yes, verse 5. Yes, I am the vine and you're the branches. Those who remain in me, see, remain, and I in them will produce much fruit. It's almost repetitive here. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered like into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends. If you do what I command, there's the if you. I no longer call you slaves, King James says, servants, because you don't confide in a servant the way you confide in friends. And since I've told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Whew. Looking Selah on that one. You ever say, I found Jesus. No, he found you. You may have finally surrendered. But he chose you from the foundation of the earth. He desires none would perish, and yet there will be those who perish because their free will, they have not said yes. I've appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. What does lasting fruit look like? That is, people brought into the kingdom forever. And how do you do that? The Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Did Jesus love us? No greater love than this. He would lay down his life for his friends. You know, friendship has a cost. Not only do you share things with them, but when you got a friend, you may get a call in the middle of the night. There's a sacrifice to friendship. So how did this happen? Look at C2 there. First they believed. But we shared last week, the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So belief is not enough. James says it. Don't tell me about your belief. Show me what you do. Now, this is that confusion part where it's not, you can't get saved by works. And I was talking to somebody just, I think it was yesterday, maybe even this morning, where, pray for our president, right? He gets up there and he's trying to settle wars and do all that. And he said several times, I'm trying to do good things. I hope I get into heaven. He turns and looks at Mike, the minister, yeah. Mike Johnson, yeah. He has lunch with the president, Speaker of the House. And Mike always prays first. And the president called it out. Oh, he says, Mike always prays and he's a really good religious man. And I hope I can get into heaven. He doesn't understand fully yet. It isn't about your works, Mr. President. It will matter what you do. But that's not how you get saved. For we know Ephesians 2:8-9 says, it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, right? Romans, over and over, by faith in Christ you have been made justified, righteous. But then once you're righteously justified in the kingdom, there needs to be works. And so they believed, all of those I listed that were friends and close to God, they believed God, but Abraham got up and did something. Moses got up and did something, right? All of those disciples got up and did something. They left their nets, left their fishing, left all that stuff, they left it all behind and followed him. There's a cost to following him. I was talking this morning about people who have been hated on, cursed at, because of their stand for Christ or before what they represent. Then he went on, are you surprised that the world hates you? They hate me. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be surprised. Especially if you take your stand, it's like, Now, do it in love, because he said, keep your love on. They believe, but they also be. They walked in obedience. They sacrificed their agenda. They gave their lives. I think it's harder sometimes, maybe, to give your life daily. That's why he said, take up your cross and follow me daily. That's that point. But once you do it, it's so much fun. It's so much excitement. It's like, Pastor, you know what God did? Like, well, tell me. There is no greater love than one lays down his life for his friends. So how do we do this, Pastor? Great. Look at number three here. Practice the presence of God daily. What practice the presence? What? How can you practice? Set up the atmosphere. I'll just tell you, I'm not trying to brag or anything. When I open my eyes and I remember who I am and where I am, the first thing I do is, good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Then I have my agenda. I get up. I turn on the coffee pot. I do this. I have my quiet time. I sit down. Oftentimes, I get my song set out. I'm going to share one at the end of the service here that just wrecked me this week. And I sit there, and I deliberately avoid. I'd like to look what's going on with this and this. Who's contacting me tonight? My phone might be going ding, ding, ding at various times. No, not yet. Not yet. Time with Jesus. And I thank him. I pray. I plead the blood of Jesus. I cover y'all. I cover my family. I have this moment where let's set the atmosphere. Let me get my heart conditioned. And I know many of you do that. But if you haven't, I would encourage you. And then get the word out. My wife and I have a discipline. We don't always do it with all the pressures and stuff, but we'll try to. Right now we're reading through 1 Corinthians. But we'll take, it could be a paragraph, but usually it's a chapter. We'll read through it. Even if it's just 10, 15 minutes connecting. If you live alone, do that. Connect with Holy Spirit. But this time together, you need private time. Sometimes we're too close with everyone. We don't need a teaching, and we don't need to be discussing how bad the world is. No, this is a moment where I'm just honoring and worshiping him. So practice the presence daily. If you're going to walk into a business meeting, I have to pray this when I go to, I was at Planet Fitness three times this week trying to get, and so before I go to Planet Fitness, I got to pray. There's a lot of flesh in that place, okay? Some of it's exposed, I'm just saying, right? And so my wife says, so how many thongs were there today? I said, I'm not looking. Hey, my spiritual papa told me, son, the first look is inevitable. The second look is called sin. So why don't you covenant with your eyes like Job does? I want to covenant with my eyes. Ooh. So I pray, Lord, and I look for divine appointments. Jimmy's running the camera, right? You know the story. Jimmy, this is a little over a year ago, Jimmy's got his walker, and I'm impressed. There's people in there, they got arms bigger than my head, and they're all, you know, this, that, and, you know. And here comes Jimmy, and he's in the health club. I said, man, that guy inspires me. And so I went over, now Jimmy's a close friend and does more service around here. Yeah, so what is that? I prayed. I said, Lord, for a divine appointment. It was 7 months ago. This young man, his name is Kai. He wouldn't mind me sharing it because he came here a little bit. He had this Christian shirt on, and he had a cross that was like bling bling, you know. I said, and he was doing, I said, good look. I said, I really like your shirt. I like that too. Is it more than, he goes, oh yeah. I said, who are you? I'm a pastor. So we ended up having this moment. Well, we ran into each other. I hadn't seen him in like 6 or 7 months, and he travels a lot. I was in the gym. He goes, Pastor. And he said, how's it going for you? I said, how much time you got? So I gave him my testimony of coming out of ICU and almost, I was on death's door. And it must have worked now, because about 45 minutes he was finishing his set and I was finishing mine. He came over and goes, man, I have been thinking about what you said this whole time. That's these are divine appointments. Please, just ask the Lord. Well, I'm going to Walmart. That's it. Pray. You know what happened the other night? When I'm on a mission, my wife will tell you, I'm a doer. I'm a mission-focused guy, right? And I get it done, get it done. It drives my wife happy sometimes. But when I'm in Walmart on the Wednesday night, I don't have an agenda. Now, I had my aluminum foil and something else, so I looked official with my cart. I'm shopping, but I'm shopping for something different. And I went up and down, I think almost every aisle. And there wasn't a whole lot of people there, right? Just about everyone that we banged into was a Christian, shared testimony, had you get saved. But you realize, when I'm not on an agenda, I am praying over Walmart. My eyes are open in a totally different way. Looking at someone down the, I wonder what their story is. I don't pray for everybody. My point of this is the call. The Great Commission is not a great suggestion. And there's a place where you will love it if you get bold enough. Forget the fear. Well, Pastor, I don't have enough scripture. You just have to love on them. Be concerned about them. And so start your day. This is that divine appointment B. Start your day in worship and awareness of his presence. C, 3C says, do all unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, everything you do as if you're doing it unto the Lord. You mean like cleaning the house and doing the dishes and cutting the grass and that cranky boss I work for? Yep. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That is not true. Well, there are days when, yeah. She'll come in and say, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. All right. I set myself up for that one. Erase that from the tape, guys. Okay. Hello. Do all unto the Lord. Abide in Jesus. We read that one. Now, this is really a sad point. Job, there's a scripture in Job that just rocked me. Now, you know the story of Job. He had a lot, but Job 29:4, it says this. We won't turn there now, but it says, when I was in my prime, God's friendship was in my home. The Lord still was with me, and I've lost my closeness. Because of the trial and tribulation Job went through, he lost something in his connection. Now, when everything's, you know, Job was blessed, right? He was a really blessed. So when blessing is going on, yay, praise the Lord. Easy to praise him. But when you're walking through the fiery trial, psalmist write, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus hung on a cross. And then when he realized, Lord, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. So we're in pretty good company by calling out, crying out to him. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I'll answer you, show you great and mighty things you didn't know. Don't lose your first love. There in 4B, the Ephesus church, the one, when you read Ephesians, we did that study. What an amazing sixth chapter. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, right, is upon that church. And what happened to them? Revelation 2:4. This is now 60 years later, and it says this, I have this against you. You have left your first love, and you don't love me, Jesus, nor do you love others like you did at first. What a hard word. Well, how do you maintain love? The love of many is going to grow cold. It's easier now with all the slander and gossip and hatred that is rampant in this society right now. And it's gotten worse, the slander and the hatred and the lies and the love of many will grow cold. Well, you got to stay connected to the vine. You got to stay connected to the vine. Stay in the Word. Challenge your own thinking. Then another church, the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:16, he said, you were once a hot church, and now you're lukewarm. I don't know what's happened to you. You think you're rich. Your money, your whatever happened to them, you think you're really rich. You're really actually blind and you're poor. Come and buy from me the salve so you can see how poor and desolate and blind you are. Again, these are, I want to be the Church of Philadelphia, right? The one who says, "You, I see that you're weak, but I see that you've maintained and you've persevered, and I will keep you from what is coming on the whole world to test the world." Ooh. Lord, I pray we can stay close. I want to turn to Deuteronomy with me. This will be our, turn back to Deuteronomy. This is a warning to the United States that he gave Israel a long time ago. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's start in verse 10. It's labeled in the New Living, a call to remember and obey. Remember and obey. And then in verse 10 it says, "When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God, the God of the land that he has given to you." Verse 11, Deuteronomy 8:11. "But the time to be careful," this is the time to be careful, "beware that your plenty, you don't forget the Lord your God, and you disobey his commands, the regulations, decrees I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and your herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proudful," or don't come to pride at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery. All of us have come out of something. Verse 15, "Do not forget that he led you through the great terrifying wilderness with his poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot, and he gave you water from the rock, and he fed you with the manna from the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for his own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, 'I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy.' Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful." If you've been successful in any of your gifts, any of your money, any of your talent, the moment somebody says, "Wow," you need to turn right around. "Lord, you know, whatever I have is from you. The Father of life, all good things come down from." So it's dangerous. You can say, "Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gifting." And yeah. But as soon, Lord, there's a discipline, and we know God. "Remember the Lord who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and you follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you will be destroyed if you refuse to obey." So here's the danger. We know it happened in Israel, right? They forgot their God. They worshiped other things. Suppose the golden era happens to the United States. First of all, do you know you're living in the most wealthy nation that ever was born on the earth? Go look statistically. Now, there were pockets, obviously, of leaders and rulers that had money and also. But as a general, why do you think everybody wants to come here? Right? It's not for the coffee. It's because. So the danger is, be careful. If the Lord does do, it's not going to be about military might, although we believe in strength, peace through strength. I'm an ex-Navy guy. I get it. And there is evil that you need to confront. There's a time when you draw the line in the sand and you say, "No." You say, you speak for those who can't speak for themselves. That's scripturally bound. Someone breaks in your house, you have a right to defend your family. Right? So there's a moment in time where you stand, but like what we did in World War II, we rebuilt the Japanese, we rebuilt the Germans. I shared with you last week about my kamikaze pilot I met in Tokyo, who was a kamikaze pilot. We rebuilt his house and fed him. And he says, "You Christians, you intrigue me." Yeah, we should be intriguing. So there's a moment here. But if we become the nation that is really so blessed, because here's what I'll digress for a moment. I believe we're at a moment here. I believe there's going to be peace in the Middle East. I believe the Abrahamic Accords are going to happen. I believe this thing is going to work out pretty good. When Iran attacks all of his neighbors, and now they're all looking at attacking back, there's a unifying. What's God up to? In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says this, when peace and safety comes, and they're dwelling in peace, suddenly. So, I believe there's going to be peace and safety. I believe the United States, you know, my theory is that what he said in Genesis 12:3, those who bless Israel will be blessed. We're paying your tax dollars and the blood of our servicemen that were just recognized yesterday, the six that came home that died. And those families paid the ultimate sacrifice. Blood and treasure is going now, not only for our nation and for those in the Middle East, but also for Israel. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless Israel. So God will watch out for his own word. I believe this. And I believe he's going to bring peace and safety, and maybe there'll be this ushered in season. I don't know how long, but then suddenly, he's going to fulfill it. That's why be ready. And the danger is when all that stuff, blessings and happens, don't forget your God. That's the danger. He's warned us. So that's a good posturing place. So let me land this thing with walk worthy. The last thing here is love others as the Holy Spirit has given you. That's there in Colossians 1:18, number 5. But then walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing and fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1:10. Walk worthy, pleasing, and love even those who don't love you. Someone was telling me this morning, because of what they do, and people came up and cursed him and said, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, a little young girl. I hate you, I hate you, I love you. Walked away, I hate you, I hate you, I love you. Amen. You can't say you love me. Yes, I can. So I'm going to ask the guys if they'll key up this song. Here's, before they start it, this song is called The God I Know. I shared it, I think Teresa put me onto it, I've been loving it. An intercessory prayer, we prayed it, but it's a song, it's an Israeli singer, it's Elohim song, but this is that, remember when he said in Matthew 7, I don't know you, depart from me? I never knew you. That what you did was lawless. It was not approved. Even though you did stuff in my name, cast out demons, prophesied, because he will watch out for his name. There are those in ministry that maybe don't know him or sitting among us thinking we know him. But what we do in obedience really is the declaring definition of how well do I know. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. So that's a good thing. Lord, I want to do what you... Here's another request I've had of the Lord is I don't want to do anything without asking you. So it can get a little maybe strange for you, but like, Lord, how should I approach this? What should I do about this? What about today? Should I... And the Lord will reverse you. I made a decision last night about something. I'll just say it. Katie belongs to, I don't know, five or six churches. So I was down on the other side of last night with a predominantly African-American church. Katie's connected, right? Well, so we're driving every night everywhere, practically. And my wife and I said, Katie, we don't have room for you to be in five or six churches every night, because if I'm driving there, it's an hour there and an hour back. And so if I'm driving 15, 17 hours a week, I love what you're doing. So I'm complaining to God. She's not hanging out at the bar. She wants to go connect with people. Like, so this morning I'm doing my sermon. And Katie goes, I'm mad at you. You told me I can't go from church right now and drive you me to the revival. I'm telling on you, Katie. And so she just walked in. She's like, and the Lord said, really, Tom? So I said, all right, Katie, I'm driving you today. So I said, but don't connect with the, how many churches can you connect with, Katie? All right, so here's the point. Whatever the Lord tells you, I know. I get to preach my own sermons to myself. So let's close our eyes, and I'd like you to, this is a song I'd like us to meditate on. So let's go ahead and tee it up. Just think about this song for a minute. James writes this, he says, "Now unto him who's able to keep you and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forevermore." And the church said, amen. Be blessed. Have a great day. Don't forget, Kingdom Men tomorrow night, 6:30. They'll be meeting in the back building. And then we've got Kingdom Women right now for lunch. Those ladies are going to go meet for lunch. And then we'll be here Friday night, Gospel of John, chapter 4.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts. And we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.